After some time, Krishna was given charge of taking care of the calves with his friends. These small calves. And one day, a demon disguised himself as a calf. And Krishna, he said to Balaramji, that you see this nice little calf? It's actually a demon who's come to kill us. And Krishna and Balaram very, very quietly walked behind. And then Krishna grabbed the calf by the hind legs and began to whirl him around until he left his life. And then he threw him onto a tree. It is explained that Krishna and his friends wanted some nice fruits, so he threw him on a very nice fruit tree. So the tree fell down, and then all the cowherd boys ate the fruits. Meanwhile, the demigods were very, very happy that this terrible demon, Vatsasura, was killed. They began to shower flowers on Krishna. And the cowherd boys clapped their hands and said, "Very good, very good. Well done." On another occasion, they were herding their calves, and they came to Jamuna, and the calves began to drink water, and then the cowherd boys also started drinking water, and just across from a distance, they saw a terrible demon in the form of a duck with a very sharp beak. He was so big, he looked like a mountain, and within moments, he jumped and he came upon Krishna, and with his big, big, mighty beak, he swallowed Krishna. And when Krishna entered into the throat of this demon, the demigods and all the cowherd boys were bewildered. In fact, even Balaramji was thinking, "What has happened? This demon has swallowed my brother." But because Krishna is the source of the all-pervading effulgence, Brahman, this effulgence began to feel like great heat within Bakasura's throat. And he couldn't tolerate it any longer. So he threw up, and Krishna came out. And he vomited Krishna. Then he started to stab Krishna with his mighty, sharpened beak. And for the pleasure of all of his friends, Krishna took the two sides of Bakasura's beak and he opened it so wide that he bifurcated it. And it, just like a child tears a piece of grass into two pieces. And the demon laid there dead. And all the children began to sing the glories of Krishna. And all the demigods began to sound kettle drums and sing the glories of the Lord. One day, Kamsa sent Agasura, who happened to be the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. He appeared in the form of a big, big snake 8 miles long, and opened his mouth so wide it was to the top of the sky, to the ground. And the cowherd boys were thinking, maybe it is a big statue. No, it's a terrible, terrible snake demon that's come to eat us. Just look. His teeth are like mountain peaks. His mouth is like a huge cave. His tongue is like a highway. And his breath is like a hurricane. And that terrible smell is his intestines. He's come to kill us. But what do we have to fear? If we all dance in his mouth together, how will he swallow us? And even if he does, Krishna will save us, because Krishna can do anything. And then they all looked at Krishna and smiled and clapped their hands and danced into the mouth of Agasura. And Krishna, feeling compassion to his friends, he walked in behind them And then Agasura closed his big, big, mighty mouth. And it was all dark. And then he tried to crush Krishna and his friends through the process of digestion. And Krishna began to expand himself bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until no air could go in or out of Aga's mouth. And he suffocated. And the pressure was so great that his life air burst from the top of his head and went into the sky in the form of a light, and it just waited there. And everyone was watching. Even the demigods were watching. This terrible demon who we have been fearing for so many years and praying for the death of. Why his soul in the form of a light is just waiting in the sky. All the cowherd boys came out, and the last one out was Krishna. And that beautiful, beautiful light, the Atma of Agasura, gracefully entered into the body of Krishna. Because Krishna is all pure, he even gave mukti, liberation, to this greatest demon, who was purified by the presence of Krishna within his mouth. What to speak if we keep Krishna in our mouths by always chanting his holy names in a mood of love and service? How purified we will be. Krishna and his friends would play so many games. Sometimes they would play, "I will be the first to touch Krishna. No, I will be the first to touch Krishna." And they will all be running to Krishna. In all of their playful games, Krishna was always in the center. Sometimes they would imitate the animals. They would dance like the peacocks. They would jump like the frogs. They would climb trees like the monkeys. Sometimes they would imitate the sounds of the animals in the forest. Sometimes they would shout into a well, and when the echo would come up, they would start chastising and calling the echo bad names. After Agasura was killed, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that Krishna's Kaumara age is from his birth until he's 4 years old. From 5 till 10, that time of Krishna's life is called Pogandalila. From 10 to 15, it is called the Kaishor Lila. And after 15, it is called Yovanam Lila, or youth. So, it was Krishna's Kumar Lila, just at the junction, Poganda, and it is said by Shukadeva Goswami that 1 year later, the cowherd boys began to chant the glories of Krishna killing Agasura within Vrindavan. And Maharaj Parikshit asked why they waited 1 year to tell the rest of the Brijabasis about Agasura being delivered by Krishna. And he told the story, that Agasura was such a fearful demon, the demigods were so terrified of him, that when Krishna killed him so effortlessly, Lord Brahma wanted to find out, what is this Krishna? He wanted to show the whole world the glories of Krishna, but at the same time, he wanted to see Krishna's own opulence. So Lord Brahma had the cows, actually they were calves. He had the calves allured by very, very sweet tasting fresh grasses. And they went deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And meanwhile, Krishna and his friends were taking prasad on the banks of Jamuna. Krishna would sit in the middle like the whirl of a lotus. and his friends were like the different petals of a lotus. There were different layers of petals. Immediately around him were the eight Sakas. And then around them were their intimate friends, 16, and then 32, and then 64, and then 128, and like that, until millions and millions. And they were all like just a big, big, beautiful lotus flower, and everyone was just fixed their minds unblinkingly at Krishna. And they were all laughing together and playing together, and they would all inspect what their mothers packed for them. And sometimes they would all exchange to taste each other's lunches. But they were always very much anxious to see what Mother Yashoda had packed for Krishna. And in this way, it was such a beautiful, loving leela. But they noticed that the calves were gone. Where have they gone? So Krishna said, "Do not worry. You remain here and take your prasad. I will find the calves." He began to wander, and he noticed that the calves were not to be found anywhere. He came back, and all the boys were gone. Lord Brahma had kidnapped all the calves and all the cowherd boys and put them in a state of mystic slumber and hid them in a secret place. Krishna was thinking that the sun is soon to set, and the cows are expecting their calves, and the gopas and gopis are waiting for their children. So he expanded himself, identical to every calf and every cowherd boy. And Krishna came back with all of his associates, just like any other day, to the beautiful village of Nandagram. And Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj and all the other gopas were there to greet their children on the outskirts of Nandagram, to bring them back to their respective homes. And Krishna remained in these forms for one full year. The only difference is, for some mysterious reason, none of the cows or none of the gopas or gopis could understand why they had such ecstatic love for their children, just like for Krishna. And one day on the top of Govardhan Hill, the cows saw their calves, who were older calves, and they came running down, and their milk bags were swaying to and fro, and milk was pouring out of the bags. And they started licking their little calves, licking them and licking them and licking them, and tears were flowing from their eyes. And the calves began to suck the milk of the mothers. And the cowherd men were very much thinking, this is very bad, we will have no milk left. I forgot to say, this was one of the complaints the gopis made when Krishna was a little boy. He used to let the calves out so they would drink the milk of the cows, and then the gopis would say, "We have no milk." So on this occasion, Krishna, in the form of all the calves, was drinking from the mothers. In this way, he was accepting every cow as his mother, directly and personally. And every gopi and every gopa is his mother and father. Because when they saw Krishna, they loved Krishna so much. They were never envious. They were always feeling themselves the most humble, loving servant of Nanda and Yashoda. But still in their hearts, they were thinking, "We wish that we could be Krishna's mother and father." So Krishna in their heart knew this and actually put Brahma in Yoga Maya to steal the cows and the calves, just so every cow and every mother and every father in Vrindavan got to be directly Krishna's personal mother and father and enjoy that loving relationship, and he could experience their own motherly affection. When Balaram saw this, he was struck with wonder. The cowherd men were angry, but when they saw their sons, who were none other than Krishna, their hearts just melted and tears began to flow, and they embraced their sons and smelled their heads and so affectionately, just exchanging love with them. Balaram said, he said to Krishna that such love can only be for you. I think that you must be them and they must be you. Tell me, what is this? And Krishna explained everything. One moment of Brahma's time went by, and Brahma wanted to see what kind of tricks he played on the Brijbasis. But that one moment is a year by earthly calculation. Balaram's appearance day. And he came down to see, and there were all the calves, and there were all the cows, all the boys. And they were still in the cave, in mystic slumber. And he came back and they were still here, and he was four heads, he was looking everywhere, wherever he saw, there was Krishna and his friends. He became very bewildered. And then Krishna revealed his opulence. Each calf and each cowherd boy became the beautiful form of Narayan, being worshipped by all the sages and devas. And when Brahma saw this, he was even more perplexed. And then everything disappeared, and Krishna was standing there with some yogurt and fruit in his hand, just as he was one year before looking for his friends. And Brahma came down on his swan carrier, and he surrendered to Krishna and offered beautiful, beautiful prayers. One day the cowherd boys said to Krishna and Balaram that there is a beautiful forest called Talavan and very nice fruits, and we want to enjoy eating those fruits. But there is a big demon named Dainukasura in the form of an ass, and he is so wicked, so cruel, that even the animals have left the forest. Dainukasura was a very close friend of Kamsa. He and his ass friends would eat all the fruits, and whatever was left they would send to Kamsa to eat in Mathura. So Krishna and Balaram, in order to please the cowherd boys, they went into the forest of Talavan, and Balaram began to yank at a big tree, tal tree, and the fruits started coming down onto the ground, making great noise. Dainukasura became very angry. In a great fury, he began to run, and as he ran, the earth was shaking. And he came to Balaram, and with all of his might, he began to kick him with his hind legs again and again and again. And Balaram, standing there, beautiful as a spring cloud, he took Dainukasura by the hind legs and began to whirl him around over his head. And he whirled him and whirled him so fast that Dainukasura left his life. And then he threw him on the top of the trees, the biggest tree in the Talavan forest. And that tree fell down and fell upon other trees. And the other asses were so angry that their leader was killed, they all came charging and kicking with their hind legs Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram, one after another, were whirling them around and throwing them into the trees. It was a beautiful panoramic scene with so many different colored asses strewn all over the forest of Talavan, and all the friends of Krishna began to have a nice festival eating the fruits. And all of the animals came back into Talavan, and the demigods showered flowers of love. One day, Krishna was herding his cows with his friends, and they came to a particular lake near the Jamuna, and they began to drink the water. And after they drank the water, all the boys and all the cows, they fell dead because that water was so highly poisonous due to the presence of the great serpent Kaliya, who was living within it. So Krishna glanced upon his friends, and they all came back to life. And then he was thinking that I must purify the Jamuna by delivering Kaliya. So he climbed on, climbed up upon a nearby kadamba tree, and like a great wrestler, he tightened his belt, and he moved his arms, and from that branch of the kadamba tree, he jumped into the Kaliya lake. And when he jumped in, it made a big, big splash. And then he started swimming around in the poisonous, deadly waters. Kaliya was very infuriated. No one dared to come to his lake. Even if a bird flew overhead, they would drop dead due to the fumes of the poison. And all the vegetation, everything in that area was dead. Except that one kadamba tree. Garuda knew that Krishna would perform this lila, so he put nectar on this tree, so it was the only thing living in the whole vicinity. And then Kaliya looked at Krishna with such rage, and he wrapped his terrible, terrible coils around the Lord. And when this happened, all terrible omens began to manifest in Vrindavan. And people were wondering, what's happening? Something must be problem with Krishna. So Nanda and Yashoda and the Gopas and the Gopis started running to the Kaliya lake. And when they saw Krishna wrapped up in this terrible demon, it was unbearable. Mother Yashoda just fainted in anxiety. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys, they understood they were helpless. This demon was so big and so terrible that there was nothing they could do, and they couldn't bear seeing Krishna, so they just decided to just jump in the water and just give their lives to try to help Krishna somehow or other. But Balaram stopped them, because Balaramji knew there was no fear. For several hours, Krishna remained within the coils of Kaliya. And for the residents of Vrindavan, it was so painful. They were all on the verge of death. At that time, Krishna became smaller in size and easily slipped out of the coil of Kaliya and jumped upon his head. He pushed his head down with his hand and then jumped on top of that hood, and he began to dance. And Kaliya, with his many hoods, was trying to bite Krishna. In fact, sometimes he was biting Krishna with all of his poison and all of his venom. And Krishna just jumped from one head to another, dancing. The same feet, lotus feet, that were so soft that the gopis would cry all day thinking that the little tiny pebbles and grains of sand on the ground may injure Krishna's feet because they are so soft. Now those same feet, which are softer than a rose for his devotees, were harder than a thunderbolt for Kaliya. Every time Krishna would place his lotus foot on the head of Kaliya, it was like a thunderbolt crashing into his head. And each head was becoming smashed and delirious. And he went to all of the 100 heads. And soon Kaliya was delirious. All of the flames that were pouring out of his mouth could no longer come. All of his poison, terrible, foul-smelling black poison started pouring out of his mouth. And when there was no poison left, his eyes reeling on the verge of death, he was completely defeated. In that mood, he surrendered to Krishna. And Kaliya's wives, the Nagapatnis, who were great devotees, they came out with folded hands and they begged Krishna that this, because of his nature of as a snake, he is envious. But because you have so mercifully danced on his head, the lotus feet that Brahma and Shiva and the great yogis are always aspiring to see, you have repeatedly danced for hours on the head of our husband with those lotus feet. How fortunate he is. How purified he has become. Now, by your mercy, he has no more ego, no more envy. Now he is your surrendered soul. Please spare his life and give him bhakti. And Kaliya, because he was a demon, he had no experience in devotional service. But when he saw his wives praying, he began to repeat the same prayers as his wife in a feeling of great surrender and love. And Krishna delivered Kaliya. He said, you may go to another place. Srila Prabhupada said, after he left Vrindavan, he went to Fiji. Prabhupada said, he's still living in Fiji, Kaliya. In fact, when they started a temple in Fiji, the deity is Krishna Kaliya. The main deity is Krishna dancing on Kaliya, because that is his abode. Kaliya became a great devotee of the Lord. After this very, very wonderful pastime of delivering Kaliya, it was becoming late. So the cowherd boys, or the cowherd men and the gopis were thinking that let us just take birth near the banks of Jamuna. I mean, let us take rest. So it was a beautiful night, and they all laid down. And in the middle of the night, they were awakened. And all around them, they saw a terrible, terrible fire reaching up to the sky in all four directions. And the cows and the Brijbasis, they all looked to Krishna and prayed that you are our only shelter. Only you could save us. We have surrendered to you. At that time, Krishna, within a moment, he swallowed the entire forest fire and thus saved all the residents of Vrindavan. One day when they were playing together, Krishna and Balaram, they made a game, and whoever won the game would be carried by the losers on their back. One of the associates of Kamsa named Pralambasura took the form of one of the cowherd boys. And he took Krishna's side. And Balaram's side won the game. So Pralambasura picked up Balaram and began running farther and farther and farther into the forest. His idea was to kill Balaram. And Balaram was thinking, why this friend is taking me so far? Actually, he's a demon. So Balaram became very heavy, and Pralambasura, he manifested his original form, big, big, terrible black demon. And Balaram, when he saw him, he was very amused to see how this cowherd boy has grown into such an ugly rakshasa. And then he took his fist and he punched him in the head. And Pralambasura fell down dead like a snake with his head crushed. Shri Balaramji ki. Another time they were herding the cows, Krishna Balaram, in a forest of the name Ishikatavi. And the cows were being led off by very nice grasses, the cows, and then a forest fire caught around them, And they started calling out for Krishna. And Krishna, when he started calling back to the cows were very happy. But because the winds were blowing, the fire was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And soon the fire was so huge that it surrounded Krishna, the cows, the cowherd boys, everyone. And they all began to look at Krishna as a dying person would look at a picture of the personality of Godhead. And seeking shelter of his lotus feet and offering prayers of love, Krishna told them all to close their eyes. And they all covered their eyes. And then again, Krishna swallowed the forest fire and thus delivered all of his friends and cows. It is said that he told them to close eyes because previously, when the boys came back from playing, they said to Mother Yashoda that Krishna ate dirt. And Mother Yashoda was very much disturbed because he ate a little dirt. He was thinking, if they see me eating a whole forest fire, they tell Mother Yashoda, then she will be very worried. So he made them close their eyes so no one saw. When Krishna would play upon his flute, the gopis would hear that flute, and Shukadev Goswami describes in so many beautiful verses the gopis' discussions with one another praising the beautiful sound of his flute. How the fathers and mothers of the flute must be so proud. Because we gopis, we are thinking that Krishna's lips are our property. But we only are allowed at certain times to be in the presence of his beautiful lotus lips. But the flute is constantly serving his lotus lips. How fortunate is the flute. And this flute, its mother and father, is the rivers and the lakes. Because the mother and father is those who nourish. And the flute comes from bamboo. And the rivers and lakes, they are nourishing the bamboo with water. Therefore, the rivers and lakes understand that this flute is their son, and they are so proud that their son is always tasting the nectar of Krishna's lotus lips, that look at them, they are always celebrating their good fortune. There's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lotus flowers blossoming constantly on all the rivers and lakes of Vrindavan. And the bamboos, who are all the brothers and sisters of the flute, they are also in the ecstasy of transcendental love to see the good fortune of their brother, the flute. And when Krishna plays upon that flute, the sound is so sweet that the cow's ears, they become like cups and they move forward in order to be filled with the nectar of the sound vibration of Krishna's flute. And they become paralyzed upon hearing the beautiful sound, and tears began to flow from their eyes. And the older cows, they are so satisfied just drinking the nectar of the song of Krishna's flute, they stop even eating grass. And the little calves, when they are sucking the nipples of their mother, drinking their milk, when they hear the flute, they become so they become paralyzed in ecstatic love that they just have their mouths in that position, but they do not even drink any milk. Tears flowing from their eyes. When this flute sound comes, all the movable entities like the monkeys and the peacocks and the cows and all human beings, they all become paralyzed. They cannot move. And all the immovable objects, like the trees and the creepers And the rocks and the stones, they begin to tremble in ecstatic love. And when the river Jamuna hears the beautiful sound of the flute, her mighty waves stop. And she simply comes toward wherever Krishna is playing his flute. She just offers the most beautiful, wonderful lotus flowers to the lotus feet of the Lord. The sweetness of Krishna's flute was the supreme manifestation of the all-attractive quality of Krishna, vibrating through transcendence. And when we purely, we can actually hear that sweet sound. Mahamantra, this transcendental sound vibration like Krishna, to penetrate all of our hearts and bring about ecstatic love. When we can chant and hear, when we can chant and hear, the holy name will manifest. Puja to Durga Devi in her form of Katyayani because they wanted Krishna to be their husband. So they performed this Katyavani vow for 1 month in which they would only eat once a day with the preparation of rice and dal put together with no turmeric, no salt, and no spices. Called Havisham, right? And they would make a little deity of Katyayani early in the morning out of the mud on the banks of Jamuna, and they would offer ghee lamps and incense and flowers, and they would pray that please, this beautiful lotus-eyed Sundar, we desire him to be our husband. And Srila Prabhupada explained that if we're worshipping demigods for the purpose of surrendering our lives unconditionally to the service of Krishna, then that is authorized. There is no need, but according to the customs and the traditions of the time, young girls are supposed to worship Katyayani for a husband. The gopis, they only wanted Krishna's husband so they could have completely unrestricted freedom to surrender their lives wholesale to his loving service and make their body, their mind, their words, their life, their everything only for Krishna's satisfaction. The ultimate renunciates for the gopis. Every morning, according to the tradition, they would take off all of their clothes and they would gently put them on the bank of Jamuna, and then they would take their baths.
part of the procedure of worshiping Kakyayani. So on the last day of the month, Krishna wanted to satisfy their desires. So Krishna with his friends were roaming in the early morning hours, and they came to that tree. It is a Kadamba tree. Yes? This place is still in Vrindavan today. It is called Chir Ghat, on the bank of Jamuna. And Krishna collected all of their clothes on the bank of Jamuna, and with all of the clothes, he climbed up to a branch of this tree. And he called to the gopis, who were unaware of his mischievous activity. And he said, "My dear gopis, I have your clothes. Now please, one by one, come and collect them for me." And the gopis saw that Krishna was up on a high branch with their clothes. And they began to chastise Krishna, that this is not proper. We are naked. We cannot come before you naked. You must give us our clothes back. If you do not give us our clothes back, we will tell Nanda Maharaj, and he will punish you. Or we may even tell Kamsa. And Krishna said, "If you want your clothes, you must come out of the water one by one and take them from me, because Nanda Maharaj is so old, what could he do to me?" And Krishna was not afraid of Kamsa either. So the gopis said, "It is becoming late, and we must return to our homes, and it is very cold, and we are trembling, so please give us our clothes." Krishna said, "You come out of the water because I want to see your beauty." And because the gopis understood that Krishna would not in any way relent, and ultimately their only purpose was to please Krishna, they all came out of the water. But with their hands they were covering various parts of their bodies. And Krishna said to the gopis that the lord of the water living in the Jamuna is Varuna. And because you were without clothes in him, you have made an aparadh to Varuna. And in order to atone for the offense, you must put both of your hands together on top of your foreheads and offer your obeisances. And the gopis were not afraid of Varuna. They were laughing. They simply wanted to make Krishna happy. And they were simple. Their only life was the satisfaction of Krishna. So they placed their folded hands on top of their heads, and then they one by one came and collected their clothes from Krishna. And Krishna explained that you performed this yajna for 1 month because you want to be my husband. A woman is never without clothes before any man except her husband. So by giving you this opportunity, I have accepted all of you as my wives. We should know that these wonderful pastimes are completely transcendental and pure. The bodies of the gopis were not made of flesh and blood like ours. They were pure, transcendental, Satchidananda forms of the Lord. And this demonstration of love, every part of the transcendental world is simply meant for the pleasure of Krishna. These beautiful, loving relationships between Krishna and the gopis are celebrated even by the greatest sannyasis, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya. What to speak of the greatest of all renunciates, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They all exclaimed that the love between Krishna and the gopis
was the purest, highest expression of transcendental realization. And then Krishna told the gopis, next year, in the Sharad season, I will further reciprocate with you according to your prayers by performing the Ras Lila with you. This happened when Krishna was hardly 7 years old. One day, Krishna and the cowherd boys were out together herding the cows. Actually, it was the same day, because they spent the whole morning stealing the gopis' clothes. They didn't get breakfast that day. So they were very hungry. So the cowherd boys said to Krishna and Balaram, we are very much hungry for prasad. There is no prasad. We missed breakfast today. So Krishna said, oh, there are some Brahmins performing a yajna. And this yajna, it is very auspicious for them to give in charity food. And they have so much food prepared for the yajna. You go to them. Krishna said, but better you tell these Brahmins that you are coming on behalf of Balaram, because he's a Kshatriya. I'm only a Vaishya. So the cowherd boys, they very happily began running and dancing, singing the glories of Krishna and Balaram. And they came where the Brahmins were performing their yajna. And they said, Krishna and Balaram has sent us, asking if you will give some food. They are very hungry. And the Brahmins were thinking that what these cowherd boys, they are insignificant. We are Brahmins. We are the leaders of society. And we are performing this yajna. This is really important work. We don't have time to waste by giving anything or even paying any attention to these cowherd boys. So the Brahmins completely ignored the cowherd boys. And they felt very, very bad. So they came back to Krishna. And Krishna said, you should not feel bad, because this is what happens when you are a beggar. Sometimes people give, sometimes they do not give. We cannot be attached to the fruits of our actions. For book distributors and life membership collectors and all such people who are trying to collect from the public, you should remember this story. Krishna has given these words. Whether people give to you or whether they don't give to you, you should not be disappointed. You should just be doing your work simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna said, the wives of these Brahmins, they are very humble and gentle, and they are my devotees. You should go to them. The Brahmins' wives were making so many wonderful preparations for their husbands in their yajna, and they had so much nice prasad. And when the cowherd boy said that Krishna and Balaram are hungry in the forest, they are requesting you to bring some prasad, immediately they started getting the best prasad in the best containers and putting it in baskets. We will bring it ourselves. And the husbands, the Brahmins, they said, where are you going? What are you doing? You cannot leave. We need you. This is the most important part of the yajna. And they left their husbands behind. And their mothers and father-in-laws, they were all saying, you cannot go to the forest. You stay. You help your husbands. But they left with the cowherd boys. And they went deeper into the forest, into the pasture grounds. And there they came upon Krishna, who was standing in his beautiful, beautiful form of Shamsundar, with beautiful wild flower garlands and leaves and flowers decorating his hair, peacock feather as an ornament on the top of his beautiful moon-like face. When they saw the beautiful form of Krishna, within their heart of hearts, they began to embrace him with love. And they made their offerings, placed them at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna reciprocated with them by filling their hearts with Krishna Prema, the ultimate perfection of life. Krishna told the Brahmins' wives that now you have satisfied me and you have achieved the ultimate perfection of my pleasure. Now you go home and continue assisting your husbands with their yajna. They will accept you back. And when the husbands had seen how effulgently the wives had received the mercy of the Lord, and what kind of spiritual awakening took place in their hearts, they felt so despondent that they missed the opportunity. Because they were so attached to their rituals, they did not fulfill the ultimate purpose of all rituals, to please Krishna. And they began to condemn themselves. To hell with our being Brahmins. To hell with all of our mantras. To hell with all of our yajnas. To hell with all of our tapasyas. To hell with all of it. It's all meant for pleasing Krishna, and we didn't even please him through all of this. But our wives, they know no mantras. They know no yajnas. They're not famous orators of the Shastras. But simply because they surrender their lives to Krishna, they have achieved the ultimate perfection. Shukadeva Goswami explains, it wasn't too late for the Brahmins. Even with this knowledge, they could have gone and surrendered to Krishna and brought whatever they had. But because they were afraid of Kamsa, they did not do it. So let us offer our obeisances to these glorious wives of the Brahmins, who demonstrated in their simplicity how we can satisfy Krishna and perfect all of the aspirations of our soul. Soon after this, the month of Kartik came, and Nanda Maharaj began to arrange for a very wonderful celebration called Indra Puja. This story is a 2-hour lecture in itself. What to do? Should I go on? Tell me if you want me to go on. We will summarize. Nanda Maharaj was making wonderful, wonderful arrangements, and Krishna, he asked, Father, what are you doing? And Nanda Maharaj said, our ancestors and forefathers, since time immemorial, have been performing this Indra Puj every year. Because we are a cowherd community, and we are depending upon the rains for our grass to feed the cows and to nourish the earth and make grains. And Indra is the Lord who gives rain. So if we please Indra, then he will provide all of the basic necessities for our economy in Brajbhumi. Krishna said that actually we don't need Indra, because according to our karma, if we're doing good work, we will get good results, whether Indra has his yajna or not. Actually, what we are really depending on is Govardhan Hill. Because it's Govardhan Hill that's giving the nicest grasses to the cows and beautiful clear waters and waterfalls. So we should perform Govardhan Puja rather than Indra Puja. And although Krishna was only a 7-year-old child, he was so charming that no one could refuse him. So Nanda Maharaj said, yes, we will do this Govardhan Puja after Indra Puja. And Krishna said, no, the same paraphernalia that you are now arranging for Indra, you should offer to Govardhan. And I will tell you how to do. Make big, big mountains of food, all varieties. And offer all that food to Govardhan Hill. And then we should all circumambulate Govardhan Hill and have wonderful singing and dancing. So Nanda Maharaj took all the paraphernalia and had all the cooks make big, 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 big mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga. And then they all circumambulated Govardhan Hill, parikrama, keeping it on its right side. And then they offered all the bhog to Govardhan. At that time, Krishna assumed the form of Govardhan Hill. And right in front of everyone's eyes, Govardhan ate all the prasad. Big long arms came out and just put it all in his mouth. And everyone watched. And then Govardhan exclaimed, Anior, Anior, please give me more. But there was nothing left. Every piece of grain, every milk product, whatever was in Brajadham was already offered. And he was calling out, Anior, Anior. And by the arrangement of Krishna, one of the devotees offered him a tulsi leaf. And he said, now I am satisfied. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayajt. And when all the devotees saw Krishna take the form of the Govardhan Hill, they understood that Krishna is none different than Govardhan Hill. And after he ate all the prasad, within a moment, all the prasad was back as it was before. But now it was Mahaprasad. And under Krishna's direction, they distributed this prasad profusely to everyone. To the Brahmins, to the Kshatriyas, to the Vaishyas, to the Shudras, to the lower classes, even to the animals. Everyone was profusely fed sumptuous prasad. And after this wonderful, wonderful festival, the cows were decorated with beautiful jewelry and painted with colorful designs. Then they all returned to their respective homes. Indra was very angry. He called his Samvataka clouds. These are the clouds that come at the time of the devastation of the universe. And he said, this talkative child, Krishna, has ruined my yajna. They have not offered, they have taken everything meant for me, the king of heaven, and they offered it all to a mountain. So he was furious. He was proud and furious. And he sent the Samvantaka clouds to destroy all of Brajbhumi. And the rain was pouring like pillars, not in drops, but in pillars. And within seconds, all the land was just completely being flooded with waters. And the residents of Vrindavan all approached Krishna in great helpless devotion, praying, Krishna, this was your idea. Please save us. And Krishna, he lifted the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand
and he held it over his head. And he said, in a very loving voice, that please, all my friends and relatives, this Govardhan Hill is now a suitable umbrella. Come under, and it will protect you. So all the cows, and all the peacocks, and all the monkeys, and all the parrots, and all the deers, and all the gopas, and all the gopis, they all very enthusiastically station themselves under Govardhan Hill. And for 7 days and seven nights, Krishna stood holding the Govardhan Hill. And to this day, he is celebrated as Giridhari for performing this wonderful pastime. The residents of Vrindavan, for 7 days and seven nights, they simply looked at the beauty of Krishna. And they were so satisfied just seeing Krishna in this pose as Girivaradhari that they completely forgot everything except the beauty of that form. Their hearts were so filled with love that they completely disregarded the thought of eating or sleeping for all 7 days. And not even a drop of rain touched a single one of them. Meanwhile, for those 7 days, Indra was throwing his mightiest thunderbolts, and the rains were just crashing against Govardhan Hill in all kinds of thunder. But Govardhan, because on his bottom side he was being touched by the tip of Krishna's little finger, he was in so much ecstasy feeling Krishna's touch. That ecstasy was such an incredible experience. Parandrisvani Vartate. That he didn't even feel the thunderbolts of Indra or the crashes of rains of the Samvartaka devastation rains, because he was just thinking, how nice is Krishna's touch. Indra understood that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have made a big, big mistake. He approached Brihaspati. What should I do? Brihaspati said, Brihaspati is his guru. His guru said, you are a fool. You tried to kill Krishna and all of his friends. How can you face Krishna? You have to approach someone who is dear to Krishna. And who is more dear to Krishna than the Surabhi cow? So Indra approached Surabhi, and Surabhi came down with Indra, and Surabhi said to Krishna that I have come to worship your lotus feet. And this Indra, he is feeling very sorry. Please forgive him. Indra fell down and offered obeisances to Krishna and explained, because of the opulences of being the king of heaven, he became so proud that he offended not only the Lord but all of his devotees. This is the result of false pride, offense. He surrendered himself to Krishna and accepted the position of the insignificant servant of the servant of his servant. And Surabhi said to Krishna, we don't need this Indra. You are our king. Let us coronate you as the king. At Airavatakund, Krishna was given Abhishek by Indra, where Indra accepted that he was the king of heaven. Airavata, his elephant, brought water from the Ganges. And at Govindakund, the Surabhi cow performed the Abhishek to coronate Krishna as the king, as their Indra. She said, you are our Indra. And this wonderful, wonderful ceremony took place.
and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It's explained actually that all the puja paraphernalia of the demigods and everything was left there near Govinda Kund. And when the Brijavasis saw it, they were wondering, what is this? What is this? How could this be for our Krishna? So in this way, all of them, even the Brijavasis, performed at Govinda Kund the wonderful, wonderful ceremony and Abhishek of Krishna as Govinda, the Lord of their lives. And after this wonderful pastime, the residents of Vrindavan all began to talk amongst themselves of how wonderful is Krishna. And he began to recall all the wonderful, wonderful pastimes that the Lord had performed right in their midst in the holy land of Vrindavan. Soon after, Krishna performed the wonderful pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. It was Ekadasi. And the Brijavasis, after observing Ekadasi, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men, they went to the Jamuna to take their early morning bath on Dwadasi. But somehow they miscalculated, and Nanda Maharaj went into the waters to take his bath at an inauspicious time. So Varuna sent his servants to arrest Nanda Maharaj. And as Nanda Maharaj was being arrested, he was calling out for Krishna to save him. And meanwhile, all the cowherd men were also calling out for Krishna to save his father. So Krishna and Balaram went to the abode of Varuna in the bottoms of the waters. And there Nanda Maharaj was a prisoner. And when Krishna came, Nanda Maharaj saw Varuna, the great, great emperor of all the waters, in his beautiful abode. With tears of love in his eyes, he bowed down and began to worship Nanda Gopal, Krishna. And he began to offer prayers that, "I am very sorry. I did not know that this was your father. Please, you can have your father back, but accept me as your eternal servant. I surrender to you." And great pompous royal worship was given to Krishna. And when Nanda Maharaj returned back to Vrindavan, he began to explain to all the other cowherd men that, "I was with Varuna in his big, 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 big majestic palace with all of his guards and all of his servants. He's such a royal king. And when our little Gopakumar came in, he started offering aarti and puja to Krishna. I don't understand. Who is this Krishna?" And all the cowherd men were struck with wonder, and the gopis were listening to this story. Why in the world would Varuna be worshiping our Krishna? Maybe it's because he's so pious. On the full moon of Kartik, when Krishna was 8 years old, he decided to fulfill the ultimate desires of his gopis. He stood under the Bamsivad tree as the beautiful moon was rising. He played the fifth note of his flute. When the Braj gopis heard that sound, they understood Krishna is calling for us. Some of them were feeding their little babies, and they just put their baby down and went to the forest. Some were cooking on fire, and they just left the pots on the fire to boil over. Some of them were serving prasad to their husbands and father-in-laws and mother-in-laws, and they just dropped the pots on the table and went. Some of them were decorating their faces with mascara. What is it? Kajal. And they just, wherever they were left off, they just left it at that and ran out. They were in such haste to serve Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, that some of them put the top part of their saris on the bottom parts of their bodies, and the bottom parts on the top parts, and we cannot understand what this is, but this is Achintya Shakti. And they ran into the forest. The gopis renounced everything. Their parents, their husbands were telling them, you cannot go, it is the middle of the night. But they did not care anything for anyone. They understood that to satisfy Krishna was their only life and their only duty. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja atham tvam sarva papevyo mokshayi samimasacha. The principle of total surrender to Krishna was most fully and completely exhibited in this pastime of the gopis of Braja leaving everything behind for the pleasure of Krishna. When they arrived at Bamsivat, Krishna told them that it is very dark and it is not appropriate for you to be alone in the middle of the night with me. So I am very satisfied that you have come, but now you should go home. And the gopis, tears were flowing from their eyes upon hearing these words. And they presented to Krishna the feelings of their heart, that it is your presence in a person's heart that gives them life. Without your presence, our relatives, our friends, everyone is nothing but a dead corpse. So the true object of love is only you. We have given our hearts and our lives to you, and we cannot go home. And it was at that time that Krishna performed the beautiful Raslila with his gopis. They began to dance. And to satisfy the gopis, Krishna personally appeared in between each two gopis. And each gopi was thinking that Krishna is only with me. But ultimately, Krishna wanted to show the supreme position of Srimati Radharani. So he disappeared from all of the gopis to live alone in the to go alone in the forest with his own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, who is Madan Mohan Mohini, who always keeps Krishna captivated by her love. All bhakti is part and parcel of her bhakti. Krishna wanted to demonstrate to everyone that the love of Srimati Radharani is the only pleasure of his heart. And therefore the Gaudiya Vaishnavas understand that to be the servant of the servant of the servant of those great souls who are assisting Srimati Radharani in her service to Krishna is the ultimate, most perfect form of devotion. the gopis searching for Krishna were asking the animals and the trees and the creepers if they had seen their beautiful Lord Shyamasundara. And finally they came upon Srimati Radharani, who told the other gopis that Krishna has left me too, because he felt that I was proud, because Krishna left everyone just for me. But actually, the acharyas explain that Srimati Radharani understood that the other gopis were feeling so much separation that she behaved in such a way so Krishna would leave her, just so Krishna would reveal himself to all the others once again. So they all began to cry together in separation from Krishna. And Krishna, who always responds to the tears of genuine affection of his devotees, again appeared before them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally exemplified the perfect state of consciousness by which we can attract Krishna, by cultivating feelings of separation from Krishna. As were exhibited by the gopis. Krishna and the gopis danced throughout the night, and they also had beautiful water sports in the river Jamuna. This pastime is the highest manifestation of transcendental knowledge in all the Vedic literatures. The five chapters describing the Rasa-lila. But one who tries to immaturely meditate on this Rasa-lila without the proper purification and sadhana will not get the true fruit of the result of bhakti. The rasa dance was performed in various places in Vrindavan. Shringaravat is where Krishna was decorating Srimati Radharani's hair with flowers. Seva Kunj is where Krishna was massaging Srimati Radharani, and also where the gopis were performing the aarti of Radha and Krishna. There is a place called Chirghat in the Panchakroshi Vrindavan. That particular Chirghat, during the Rasa-lila, when they were playing in the Jamuna, Krishna stole the gopis' clothes again. Dhir Samir, another wonderful pastime that took place during the time of Rasa-lila. When Krishna played on his flute, the wind was so enchanted that it stopped. It was paralyzed. It stopped in ecstasy just to hear the beautiful sound of Krishna's flute. So Shukadeva Goswami described very beautiful this most celebrated pastime of the Lord. Then one day, it was Shivaratri, and the Brijabasis decided that they would worship Lord Shiva at a place called Ambikavan. And they went there and they began to do their puja to Shankar. They fasted during the day. And then they went to sleep at night on the banks of the holy river Saraswati. And a big, big serpent came and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. And the cowherd man, upon seeing Nanda Maharaj being swallowed by the serpent, there was a fire, and they took the burning logs of the fire and started beating the serpent, and beating him, and beating him. And meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj was gradually going deeper and deeper into the mouth of this snake, and he was calling out, "Krishna, save me! Krishna, Krishna, save me!" And then Krishna appeared, and he placed his lotus foot very gently on the head of the serpent. And within a moment, that serpent became a beautiful, beautiful devata, a heavenly denizen. And he explained, "Previously, I was the great demigod Vidyadhara of the name Sudarshan. And I made an aparad to a great sage because I was so handsome and beautiful. I made fun of him because they were not. And thus I was cursed to become a serpent. But the curse of the great souls is always a benediction." What is there to lose if ultimately we get the mercy of Krishna? One time the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "How should we feel when you chastise us?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "You should feel purified. And you should feel fortunate that of all the millions and millions of living entities in this world who are so lonely and so neglected, you are getting such special attention from someone who cares so much to help you that he's willing to chastise you." So the chastisement of the great souls is a great blessing. And Vidyadhara, being completely purified by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, became his pure devotee.
One night, Krishna and Balaram were playing with gopis in the forest of Braja. And a disciple of Kuvera, of the name Shankasura, appeared. He had a beautiful jewel in his head, and he was very puffed up. He was so puffed up that he was thinking that any woman is beautiful must be for only my enjoyment. Prabhupada says this is what wealth and physical strength and beauty do to a person's mind. He cannot tolerate anyone else enjoying something that he wants. He could not tolerate Krishna and Balaram enjoying these beautiful, beautiful gopis. So right in front of Krishna and Balaram, he came before them and said to the gopis with a stick in his hand, that "You come with me. Go, go." And started forcing him into the forest, deeper into the forest. Krishna and Balaram were just watching. What is this? And the gopis were calling out, "Krishna, Balaram, save us! Right in your presence, he is taking us away, save us!" So Krishna told Balaram, "You stay here with the gopis, I will get him." And Krishna charged after Shankasura. And when Shankasura saw Krishna coming, he ran away. And Krishna caught up to him, and with his fist he punched Shankasura and killed him. So Krishna Bhagavan ki. And then he took the beautiful jewel in his head and brought it back and offered it to Balaram in the presence of all of the gopis. And that ends the first volume of Krishna book. Should we go to the second volume?
Kamsa was hearing the news, Every demon he sent was being destroyed by Krishna. He understood full well who was the eighth son of Devaki, Krishna. So he was in tremendous anxiety. He couldn't sleep at night. He would just have dreams, terrible, terrible dreams about Krishna destroying him. He couldn't eat. Wherever he would go, he would just see Krishna coming to kill him. He couldn't get his mind off Krishna. He was frustrated. Even though he was the king of the world, there was no happiness, only fear. So one day, he had a meeting with some other asuras, how to destroy this Krishna. And they decided we should bring him to Mathura and we should have him wrestle Chanura in Mushtika. Once we get him here, we will easily destroy him. And if Chanura and Mushtika cannot kill him, certainly you can kill him. We also have Kuvalyapita, the mighty elephant that can kill anything and anyone. So Kamsa decided to bring Krishna to Mathura. And he called upon Akrura, who was Krishna's uncle. And he said, I want you to bring Krishna to Mathura. Srila Prabhupada explains, why did Akrura stay in Mathura with Kamsa? He said, when Kamsa began to perform all of his nefarious activities, so many of the Vrishnis and the Yadus and others, they just fled to all different parts of the world. But some stayed. Some stayed right by Kamsa in Mathura, even devotees, because they knew that it's already been prophesied that Krishna will kill him. We want to be here when Krishna kills him. We want to see this Leela. So we'll go on serving Kamsa just so we can see him die at the hands of Krishna. So Akrura was one of those devotees. And Kamsa told Akrura that you bring Krishna here. And Balaram. And Akrura was thinking that Kamsa is a great demon. And to go on this mission for a demon is very bad. But I've heard all these wonderful stories about Vrindavan. And this gives me a chance to go to Vrindavan and see what is Braj Bhumi and see what is Krishna and Balaram. And they will understand my heart. Even though I'm coming as a messenger of a demon, they know my heart. That I am coming simply to surrender my life at their lotus feet with love and devotion. So on Kamsa's order, Akrura boarded his chariot and drove into Vrindavan. And when he arrived, it was just toward the time of sunset. And Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends were just bringing their cows back from the pasture grounds. In fact, he came just when it was milking time. So he heard the beautiful, beautiful sounds of the cows. Mmm. And he also heard the beautiful sounds of the milk being milked into the bucket. And he was very happy. And then he saw the footprints of the cows and the beautiful soils of Braja. And then he saw the footprints of the cowherd boys. And one set of footprints had all the emblems and signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the footprints of Krishna and Balaram. And Akrura got off of his chariot, and he was weeping ecstatic tears of love, and he began to roll in the dust of Vrindavan, worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotees. All the while to Vrindavan from Mathura, Akrura was simply offering beautiful prayers in remembrance to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, when you go to Vrindavan, you should not go like an ordinary tourist. you should go in the mood of Akrura. The whole while, en route to Vrindavan, you should be offering beautiful prayers with your mind fixed constantly in glorifying Krishna. Krishna and Balaramji greeted Akrura with great respect, and Akrura worshipped them as the Lord of his life. He was brought to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and there he extended the invitation that the great king Kamsa is inviting Krishna and Balaram to the wrestling arena to have a match with Janura and Mushtika. And Krishna and Balaram, of course, agreed to the proposal. And that night, there was wonderful loving exchanges between Nanda, Yashoda, Krishna, Balaram, and Akrura. And they were making arrangements for Krishna's departure the next day. But when the news came to the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, it was too painful for them to bear the thought that Krishna would be leaving the holy land of Vrindavan. All night long, the gopis were talking amongst themselves about how unbearable it will be if Krishna leaves, how it cannot be, how somehow, some way, by some means, we must keep Krishna here. As a fish cannot live without water, how could the gopis live without the beautiful, charming pastimes of Krishna? These prayers and dialogues of the gopis that night have been worshipped by the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Krishna, the next morning, came to the chariot, and the gopis, pleading, crying, fainting, were begging Krishna, please do not leave us. They even laid their bodies in the wheels in front of the chariot, that if you must go, first take our lives. Please do not make us suffer separation from you. Akrura means not cruel, but this is Krura, not Akrura. He is the most cruel. He is taking our life from our hearts. And as the gopis were weeping and crying and begging Krishna, Krishna explained to them that I will be back in only a few days. I will just do my service in Mathura and I will return. So you please kindly wait. And the gopas were also begging Krishna not to go. Everyone was begging Krishna not to go. The only thing that kept them alive was Krishna's promise that I will return within a few days. And as the chariot began to move, the residents of Vrindavan, headed by gopis, stood like painted pictures, just looking at the chariot going farther and farther away. They watched it until it disappeared in the horizon, and all that was left to be seen was the dust left behind it. And when even that dust disappeared, they remained like painted statues, their hearts throbbing in ecstatic love and separation. They came to the Jamuna, and Krishna and Balaram told Akrura that we will go to take our bath in Jamuna. And Akrura came to see. And when he came to the Jamuna, there he saw the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, and the beautiful serpent, Anantashesh. And when Akrura saw this wonderful, wonderful darshan, he was simply struck with wonder and ecstatic love that Akrura got. Is also famous for another pastime. One time, the residents of Vrindavan were wondering, who is this Krishna? And where will we go after we leave Vrindavan? Krishna took them to Akrura Ghat, and there he told them to look in the sky. And right before their loving eyes, he opened up the entire material universe. They saw right through the entire material existence, and they got the view, the darshan of the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky. And then they saw within the spiritual sky the Vaikuntha planets. And they saw beyond all the Vaikuntha planets to the topmost Vaikuntha planets, Goloka Vrindavan. And there they saw in Goloka Vrindavan, they saw Govardhan Hill and Jamuna and the same Kadamba trees and Tamal trees. And they saw beautiful, beautiful cows, the same cows. And they saw Krishna and Balaram and Srimati Radharani and Yashoda and Nanda. They even saw themselves in their original spiritual bodies, the same bodies they had. Krishna gave them all a vision of the spiritual world and also gave them the understanding that there is no difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Bhoma Vrindavan appearing within this world. After Akrura saw this beautiful, beautiful manifestation of Krishna's opulences, he offered wonderful prayers to Krishna and Balaram. And then they crossed over the Jamuna into Mathura. And thus ends the Vrindavan Leela, as Srila Prabhupada has explained in his beautiful book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. By hearing these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, especially on this holy day of Janmashtami, our natural attraction for Krishna is awakened. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a simple process. To always hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains the pastimes of Krishna are not like any material sound vibration because it is ever new, ever fresh. We can hear the same pastime again and again and again and again for all of eternity. And if our hearts are pure, it will get sweeter and sweeter and more exciting and more beautiful every time we hear it. It is not, I've heard that one before, can you tell me something else? This is not the way the great souls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would hear the story of Prahlad Maharaj from Srimad Bhagavatam being recited by Gadadhar Pandit, he would ask him, repeat it again. And he would repeat the whole story of Prahlad, repeat it again. For days he would just go on listening over and over and over again the beautiful story of Prahlad or Dhruva. What to speak of the story of Krishna in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka. If we can understand our spiritual advancement to the degree we are eager to hear about Krishna again and again and again and again and again, forever. This is our nitya seva, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. The materialistic people, every few years they have to change their songs because they get tired of it. Not every few weeks. But the great devotees, Haridas Thakur, from the time of his earliest childhood till he was an old man, 300,000 times a day he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he was never thinking, when will the next age come, for there's a new Maha Mantra. He was never thinking, is there another song? Because within Krishna's pastimes, within Krishna's name is Krishna. And our aspiration, our striving should be that we develop such pure hearts through sadhana and seva to the Vaishnavas and Guru that we can someday have that affinity to ecstatically hear and chant the glories of the Lord forever. When we develop that eagerness, then we are fit to return back home, back to Godhead. And that can only come by the mercy of Guru, the mercy of the previous Acharyas. If we simply follow Srila Prabhupada's most wonderful process as it is, with faith, gradually, by His divine grace, the mercy of His servants, Krishna will reveal that everlasting desire to hear His pastimes, to chant His names, and to serve His devotees. These holy days, such as Janmashtami, are especially meant to remind us of what we should truly be striving for in our life. To chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And we are so fortunate that Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Sri Kopalji, in this beautiful form, have invited us to their beautiful temple on this holy day of their appearance. And giving us so much opportunity to hear about them, to have kirtans, to make garlands for them, to cook bhoga for them, to clean for them, to preach and welcome guests who come to see them. It is their most blessed mercy upon us that we are together here today to serve their lotus feet. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki, Shri Nithai Gaura Chandra ki, Shri Giridhari ki, Gopimanandi Ananti Kodi Vaishnava Prindaki Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo